Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin. Welcome to In Love of Christ, a weekly Catholic program on a variety of topics. We're coming to you pre-recorded through listener-supported JMJ Radio, 750 AM, and its studio at the Oblates of St. Joseph Seminary in Pittston, Pennsylvania. Now, in recent weeks, we aired two programs introducing Curcio to our listeners. Now, on those programs, three members of the Curcio leadership team, Donna Valenti, Maria Coaches, and Joao Mexico, told us about the origin of Curcio in Spain in the 1940s, how it came to Texas in 1957, and to the Scranton Diocese in the late 60s. And we talked a little bit about what the weekend is like and follow-up after the weekend and how it has transformed so many lives for the better. And also about the lifelong friends so many of us have made through this movement. Now, on this program, we're pleased to have with us Father Phil Slatica, Spiritual Director for the Curcio in the Scranton Diocese. Welcome, Father.
Thank you, Jerry.
And George and Loretta Syracuse, who each made a Curcio weekend about 2 years ago. And George and Loretta are going to share with us what Curcio has meant to them. But first of all, Father, would you offer an opening prayer?
I'd be very happy to. Whenever we begin our Curcio groups, we always pray the prayer to the Holy Spirit, so we can begin with that tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by that same Holy Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Okay. Again, George and Loretta, you made your Curcio weekend, of course, separate weekends. We make a men's weekend and a women's weekend separately. And about 2 years ago, you each, went through your Curcio weekend. So I don't know which of you would like to start to tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, I'll start. I got the nod already from my wife.
How changed your life as a Christian system myself, first time I have some sense of what you're about to tell us.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first of all, let me say that I'm no exception to the fact that it took a while for me to decide to make a Curcio weekend. I was asked for a couple of years from gentlemen in my parish who made it again, and I kept putting it off, telling them that I was too busy with my career and my family to take the time to make the Curcio weekend. And I guess it was I made my Curcio in March of 2009, and being in the financial planning business, it was the actual lowest point in the market in the financial crisis that we experienced, and I was in a mental crisis myself at the time. So the Curcio came at a perfect time for me, and I finally made the decision, yes, I need to go on this weekend. I didn't know what the weekend was going to entail. I did go, and I still had some reservations, I have to tell you. Usually your sponsor drives you to St. Gabriel's up there in Park Summit, to the site of the retreat, and being the control freak that I am, I insisted on driving myself to the weekend, mm-hmm. Not sure if I was going to stay.
Yeah, you have a lot of company in that charge, including me. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So I went with some reservation. Never been on a retreat before. I was raised a Catholic, was going to church every week, trying to live out my life as a Catholic Christian, but my faith was not deep. There were times, again, being the control freak, where I had serious trouble trusting in God and letting go and truly letting him take the wheel. But I can tell you, my first night in, where we have reconciliation and Mass, I was just totally filled with the Holy Spirit and the grace of God, that I was moved even on the first evening, and I knew that this weekend was going to be something special.
So you didn't run back to your car and
head
for home?
No, I didn't run back to my car. Matter of fact, I really, after the first evening, was really looking forward to what the rest of the weekend would entail.
Mm-hmm. And your first hours at the Curcio were...
Well, when George went, he didn't know what was going to happen, and he kind of texted me and told me what was going on, but I was so happy that he did, because he... you could tell he was just so full of the Spirit, and this was so unlike him that I was just deeply touched by this. So that, you know, I didn't know what a Curcio weekend was. I thought it was just like a regular retreat, and I had taken retreats before, and I told him retreats are wonderful, and if you definitely need a retreat, so go. And he did go. And so when he started texting me all this wonderful stuff, he went to confession the first night. You know, he was just touched by the Holy Spirit. We had a miscarriage, he just felt the presence of the baby, you know, praying for him. Mm. And
because it's at St. Gabriel's Retreat Center, how beautiful.
Yes, that was the first indication. Wow. Let me just say, you know, my wife was always very, very, very religious, very spiritual, and I was the one that would... You know, wasn't as spiritual, and I always say I reckon it to St. Paul's conversion, because I needed to get struck by that lightning. I needed to be blinded at first so I could see, and I think what she saw happen to me inspired her 6 months later to go on the women's retreat, because I think originally, you know, really you had no intention of going.
Well, no, I would have went, but because you were so touched, I knew that I wanted to do whatever you were doing so that we could do it together. Okay. So that's what motivated me to go. And when I was there, it was just the most beautiful weekend that I've ever had. Mm-hmm. And for me, since I was, I think, further along in my journey before him, it was more of meeting people with the same desires to get closer to God, and that there were people like me out there, because in everyday life, and most of my friends, nobody even really had too much of God in their life. So,
mm-hmm. And you were born and raised Catholic?
Yes, I was.
As George was.
Okay. Catholic schools, Catholic high schools, Catholic universities, actually, for you.
And I my parents were very good Catholics, spirit-filled, and they everything that I was taught in school was reinforced at home. So,
you're
I was very fortunate, right?
I gotta add this. You know, we always sent our children to Catholic school. I went to Catholic school up through the eighth grade, and I had nuns in the Catholic school, and it was a very difficult for me, being a big kid and kind of boisterous, that I swore that I would never allow my children to go to Catholic school. Well, along comes my wife. I met my wife. We married. We have five children, and they've all gone through Catholic schools. And despite the fact that we lived in a very rural area in Pike County where there were no Catholic schools, and we would drive up to 4 hours a day to drive them to school. And we did that for 12 years until we finally moved to Jessup in the Scranton area, where there are much more schools available to us. But we made that commitment as parents. Even though myself, my spiritual life was not as deep as it is now, knowing that it was the right thing to do, and to bring our kids up Catholic and give them the instruction that they needed. And she's so right. A lot of our friends, they may be Catholic, but their spiritual life was not as deep. And what the Curcio movement has done is introduced us to other Catholics that really want to deepen their faith and be amongst people that feel the same way.
Yes. Father, I'm sure you have so many people who have shared their thoughts with you as to the value of the Curcio weekend in their lives.
Absolutely. I made my Curcio in 1975, and it's interesting to note that I made the 14th men's Curcio in the Allentown Diocese, and they held that Curcio at St. Joseph's of the Oblates. So I was in the Crucio in Allentown and made my Crucio here in the Scranton Diocese, where I ended up being a priest afterwards. I was ordained on May 1st, 1976. But my first assignment after my Crucio was as a deacon was in Montoursville at Our Lady of Lourdes Parish. And the Monsignor that introduced the Crucio to the Scranton Diocese was Monsignor McDonough. And he was the pastor of that parish prior to my coming. He introduced the Crucio. It was introduced at Our Lady of Lourdes in Montoursville. And there I was right after my Crucio coming into that parish to experience really what Crucio could do. Mm-hmm. And I found so many people who were involved on worship committees as Eucharistic ministers. Their altreas, when you would go to an altreia, there were hundreds of people who were in the hall at Our Lady of Lourdes in Montoursville.
And we should explain that altreia, the word means onward, and it's the...
Yes,
it's,
onward it's the and name. Upward. Mm-hmm. It's a gathering of many reunion groups, which are small groups that meet weekly of men and women, mm-hmm. and they come together in one large group to support and encourage one another.
And that's typically monthly, thereabouts... The Altreia.
The Altreia is typically monthly,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and it would be held in different parishes throughout the diocese.
And so you noticed so many people who had experienced Crucio, who were then motivated to become quite active.
They were motivated to really bring the message of Jesus Christ into the world and into their workplace. Mm-hmm. They were lawyers and businessmen and people who were. Many different types of people in different workplaces, and they were bringing the message of Jesus Christ, you know. And really, that's the one of the missions of Crucio is to transform our environments, to really make them different by living Jesus Christ.
Yes, and when you look around, even just in this diocese, it's phenomenal number of people who have gone to Crucio and then gone into various. I don't think there's an apostolate or an activity that you could mention that Crucioistas, you know, in large numbers have just done it because they've been motivated to do that. Any further thoughts on your
experience? I just wanted to say the Father pointed out that taking the message of Jesus Christ into the workforce and into your everyday lives, mm-hmm. and that's one of the things that changed me after my weekend, was, you know, before I kept my spiritual life or my faith separate from my business life, and I would never think of wearing my religion on my sleeve, but I found that after my Crucio weekend, that I had an obligation to bring my spiritual life and my faith into my workforce and into my everyday life. And I think that's one of the big changes that most Crucioistas go through, is that it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to talk yes. about your faith. It's okay yes. to bring God into the conversation.
Mm-hmm. And are there some particular ways that you found that to do that at the workplace?
Yes, actually, I'm a financial planner, uh-huh. and I counsel clients on their investments and their planning. And before, I would never bring up the spiritual side of their goals in life. And I found now that I've actually discussed that with a lot of our clients when I felt that they needed it. They needed to hear mm-hmm. it, which before I would never dare do so. Mm-hmm. So that's a big change.
How did they respond?
Actually, it was well received. You know, you always worry about, I hope I don't offend this individual, but it was well received and appreciated. Mm-hmm. And looking back, it's something I probably should have done much sooner in my career.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was sitting in a Burger King in a strange town maybe a year or so ago, and there was nobody in there, no customers there. So I got my burger, whatever it was, and I began to bless myself. And about that time, this gentleman, older gentleman, came around the corner, and he just stopped and looked at me. He said, you know, hey, you're blessing yourself. That's great. And I think that's typically the kind of response you get. unless you grab somebody by the lapels and say, listen to me, I want to tell you about Christ. Well, that's a little bit, you know, we have a sense as just people as to how best to bring Christ to others.
Absolutely.
That's great.
And, you know, we have a saying, you know, make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend. And that's how we expand the movement, the Crucio movement within the diocese. And, you know, the first couple steps, make a friend and be a friend, leads to the conversation of Jesus Christ in your life. And it's a natural progression. And I always think that, you know, Crucio may not be for everybody at every time, but there'll be a time in their lives where I think everyone could benefit from a Crucio weekend and being involved in the movement. It's just a matter of on God's time.
Well, I think the Crucio as a married couple has really enriched our marriage. I mean, we do so much more together religiously, not just going to church together. We pray together. We pray together with the children. We try to say the rosary as much as try to say
as
online,
a family.
But we have done so much more together, and we even go to adoration at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
On Fridays, and that's George just picked the time.
Yeah, it's amazing how much it's changed our lives. And the rosary is something that my wife always did, and I would do once in a while, but very rare. And now we find ourselves doing it as a family almost on a daily basis. And my first evening into my Crucio weekend, you know, I mentioned you start out with a Mass and reconciliation. And reconciliation is something that I didn't do very often prior to my Crucio weekend. Yeah. And the grace that I was given that evening when I made my reconciliation was incredible. So much so, I bought a rosary at the gift shop on my way back to my room that first evening and said a rosary. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing, though, how much it's transformed my life.
Yes.
And Bible study, actually. We're very involved in Bible study, too, which is something we've been doing together as a couple.
One of the things that's recommended after the Crucio weekend is that we begin to, we actually join a group. Typically, the men group with men and the women with women. There are a number of exceptions to that. So did you find a group fairly soon after your weekend?
Yes. I started grouping every other week immediately following my weekend. And I actually gave witness in an Altrea 6 weeks after my weekend. That's how on fire I was.
Yeah.
So, grouping is very important.
As you're giving witness tonight to the audience pretty much throughout the diocese.
Absolutely. It's not just a weekend. It's a true movement. And it's something that you need to continue to keep that fire burning. And grouping with fellow Crucioistas, other men who have made a weekend, Catholic men who have made a weekend, is kind of like your support group. It keeps you motivated, keeps you focused. And just through the table of sharing your week or the last several weeks, what have you done to build on your faith? And when did you most see Jesus Christ in people's lives? Is certainly a renewal. It's like reliving the experience all over again.
Mm-hmm. And we might mention to our listeners that grouping with mutual friends that you're free to choose to be with or to go and find another group is structured at least in a very general way. Is a little kind of group reunion sheet.
Absolutely. You find your group. Some people group with their sponsor, the person who's sponsoring, which does require a sponsor before you can make a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So some folks group with their sponsor's group. Others form a new group that are more recent men who have made their weekend. So you seek out a group that you might have some commonality with. I was actually in a group where we had complete diversity. We had folks, men in my group that were in their 70s and 80s. I happened to be in my 40s. So it was nice to have that worldly experience and knowledge in our group. And we had younger guys with young families.
Well, sometimes people call that stubbornness, I find. But go ahead.
But you can seek out your own group, and there is a format to follow to keep you on track so that the conversation and the experience of the grouping remains on track.
They've changed it slightly since I made Chrissy way back, but it was basically three general categories of piety or prayer life. You know, what are we doing to build and enhance our own individual prayer lives? And then the next category was study. You know, what kinds of things are we studying, or is Bible study, or encyclicals, or catechism now, to kind of like develop our understanding of what our faith really is. And then the third one was action, which the first two feed into.
It hasn't changed. You know? That's still the format.
And then, of course, we talked about a moment closest to Christ, which was always quite special to hear, you know, each of us share that moment close to Christ. And sometimes it would bring tears to your eyes.
Yes.
And so Casillo isn't just a kind of a hail fellow well-met kind of getting together, have breakfast or whatever. It's purposeful, and it's very meaningful, and it's very productive in terms of our spirituality and what we actually do.
And I'd like to say that the fourth part of that at the end of the reunion group is, what do I plan to do? You know, what are my plans for the coming week? My evangelization, how can I reach out? And, you know, that whole idea of the bishops today calling the church to really re-evangelize our society, you know, the call of our Holy Father and our bishop and the bishops of our country really to draw people back into the church. And I think through the Crucio groups, that's a perfect opportunity. You know, make a friend, be a friend, bring a friend to Jesus. I think it's a wonderful opportunity.
It certainly is, and it seems to
fit right in with the bishop's recent letter. You know, wounded and broken, gathering the fragments, gathering the people. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really beautiful way to extend the kingdom, and especially today. You know, where the church has gone through such difficulties in so many ways that it's a. I think the Crucio is a positive experience that can draw many to Christ in a way that sets them on fire to spread the good news and to reach out, you know.
And as George said, in a way that you might never expect before you go there.
So beautifully exemplified.
Right. We didn't want to go. Mm-hmm. Friends encouraged us to go, and finally we went and we went.
I was amazed.
Any further thoughts from the women's point of view on Crucio?
Well, just about grouping. I actually grouped this morning, and it is just a wonderful thing to do to get together with women of the same.
Oh, we've got plenty of time. Go ahead.
Okay. Just grouping with women that have, we're all pretty much the same age, and we all have kids and we have similar experiences. So it's good to know that someone else has difficulties like you, and you can share just those experiences with each other. And then when you leave, you just feel so refreshed. And it's also a prayerful meeting, and that you do pray together. And it's just. I'm just so glad that I had this whole experience of the Crucio. It's changed my life and our family life.
And how about the friends that you've made through Crucio?
I've made true friends through Crucio. And, even if I'm not going out with them doing things that you would do with other friends, I consider them my best friends because I know they're there for me no matter what.
And vice versa. Yep.
Right.
That's deep. It's a deep relationship. You know, you have a lot of friends, and then you have close friends that you know that that they'll pray. They'll pray with you, and it's not odd. You know, in this society, you think, well, geez, I'm a man. I'm going to ask some gentlemen to pray with me. But when you have Chrissy as friends, they will pray for you. Mm-hmm. They'll pray with you and for you.
Mm-hmm. And they'll encourage you in your spiritual journey.
Absolutely.
As you encourage them, they will share with you, confidentially, of course, within the group.
Absolutely.
Their difficulties, their struggles. And quite often, what you say to them or what they say to you will be very, very helpful.
Yes.
And at the very least, you'll know there's somebody there with you.
Absolutely.
Who cares.
And let me just say this, too. You know, everybody comes from different experiences in life. Mm-hmm. And everybody has something different to bring to the table. We're all God's children. Mm-hmm. So all are welcome to the table. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this program and you think, well, that's not for me, or why would I consider making a Crucio weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Pray about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it'll change your life, and there'll be no judging, and it's not judgmental. And it will strengthen your relationship with Christ and give you the strength in a modern society to live your life the way Christ wants us to live our life.
Absolutely right. So as we're getting fairly close to the end of the program, so let's tell our listeners how they can, well, I guess let me tell our listeners how they can learn more about Crucio. On the internet, you'll find the local Crucio website by just keying two words into your search engine, Scranton Crucio, and it'll show up there in that very first page. Or call Joe Alanoski, and Joe is the pre-Crucio chairman. He lives in Archbald. His number is 876-4087. 876-4087, Joe Alanoski. And he'll send some he'll tell you a little bit about Crucio, and then send some information to you that you can complete and submit. And so we're, as I say, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the program, and maybe, Father, would you give us and our listeners your closing blessing?
Certainly. I'd first of all like to thank God for the gift of all of the Crucio members who are, and lay people who are so involved in the church and living Jesus Christ, and I'd like to just thank God for that. And the Lord be with you, and also with you. And may Almighty God bless and keep you. May he let his holy face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, Father Slatica. And thank you, George and Loretta Syracuse, for your inspiring testimonies to what Crucio has meant to you. May it inspire many of our listeners to look into Crucio for themselves. They will be glad they did, as I was. That's all the time we have for now. Please join us next week for another program in the In Love of Christ series. Until then, God bless.